on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
Right on 10:30, we're going to go On The Pace now with Greg Hayes to find out what's happening in the harness racing world. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. Yeah, plenty going on in the world of harness racing. Of course, we had the final night of the Queensland Winter Carnival on Saturday night, and we'll be really wrapping that up today. We'll be catching up with Tim Butt, who is the trainer of Let It Ride, who is the four-year-old that won the Blacks of Fake on Saturday night in a new track record time. Very impressive drive from Dexter Dunn. Dexter missed his drives on Friday night at Addington through illness, but still got on a plane on Saturday morning. Flew across, took the drive on Let It Ride, and it was a very good drive to get in behind the leader, Atomic Red. So the two four-year-olds, in fact, quinellaed the race. So we'll have a chat with Tim this morning about the future of Let It Ride. Also this morning, want to have a chat to Gary Crocker, who is the owner of Major Crocker, who resumed on Saturday night at Menangle. And now in the Mick Doltoff team, Major Crocker was too strong, first up from a fairly long break, hadn't raced since the South Australia Cup. So we'll catch up with Gary today. And it's a pretty big weekend coming up for South Australia as well. They've got their Southern Cross final, so very important that we point to that. And we'll have a chat to Gary, because he's also the chairman at Harness Racing South Australia. So we'll speak with him about that. Brad Hewitt, we'll speak with Brad this morning. He's had a very big Saturday night at Albion Park. He won the four-year-old with our triple play. He's had a little bit of success in that race over the years. I think he won it back in 2015 with Sweet Molly O'Shea. So Brad's picked up another four-year-old championships in Queensland. Be interesting to see what sort of races he's got planned for our triple play going forward. And he also won the Invitation Drivers pace with Untitled. Robbie Morris drove the horse for him, but Untitled was able to pick up a race, and he had That's What I Said go around in the Derby, and That's What I Said didn't disgrace himself, so we'll find out what the plans are with that horse. And I want to speak with Will Rickson as well, who picked up a Saturday night winner at Menangle, and he drove DeSanta Anna. Now, DeSanta Anna, very, very talented pacer, has got a strong record, but had been to Menangle more than 20 times in the past and had been unable to win. But Will found the key, because on Saturday night was able to open up DeSanta Anna's account at Menangle. So that's what's coming up on the show this morning. So we'll catch up with all of those guests before 11 o'clock today. So if you missed all the racing action on Saturday night at Albion Park, the main race, the Blacks of Fake, was taken out by Let It Ride, trained by Tim Butt, driven by Dexter Dunn, a new track record in 154.8. A big decision made by Tim the week prior. He was planning on going to the four-year-old championships, but after Soho Tribeca and also Tiger Tara didn't go to the Blacks of Fake, the decision was made by the stable to go to the Group 1. And in the end, it was a winning decision. And Tim's joining us on the show. Morning, Tim.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Really well. In the end, you pulled the right rein, and Let It Ride's now a Grand Circuit winner.
Yeah, no, it all worked out pretty good, really. You know, I was sort of talking about there just for a trip away, and, you know, just to further his sort of education, really, Greg. And when the field fell away a bit in class, you know, I thought he deserved his opportunity.
Were you surprised not only with the win, but the time that he ran on Saturday night? 154.8, closing quarters, 29.4, 28.9, 28.7, blistering times. And to basically, yeah, okay, there was no Soho Tribeca, no Tiger Tara, but there's obviously Myfield Marshall in the field. And when they're running times like that, they're not giving away Grand Circuits for free. So what did you make of the win on Saturday night?
Oh, I was right with it because, you know, it was, as you said, it was a fair speed, and over the longer distance, you know, it sort of proves that he's it's the sort of horse that when you race at Menangle and you're only racing miles all the time, you don't really get exposed to those long journey races, which a lot of the big races are now, you know. So at least we know that he's got that string to his bow. And I always felt he'd be a great horse following speed, and he's got a really high cruising speed, and you know, and he's always shown me a fair bit at home, so, you know, I wasn't completely surprised.
Dexter Dunn drove him to his first four victories in New Zealand. There was obviously a bit of a scare in the camp on Friday night when Dexter didn't drive at Addington. Did you have a backup plan, or were you not concerned at all that Dexter would always make the trip across?
Oh, no, I was a little bit concerned, but we didn't know how it was going to unfold. And I was really, really keen for Dexter to drive him because he drove him in New Zealand and he helped mould the horse back then. And, you know, he's a great driver and you know, he did me, you know, won some big races for me, so I wanted to reward him if I could, you know. So, yeah, just the way it all worked out.
Do you think that's the horse's go in the very top level? He isn't a leader. You know, he's got that gate speed that he can use, but then just to sit off the speed and then use that turn of foot that he has got?
Oh, yeah. I think the way the zone he was in, he probably would have been all right in front the other night as well. You know what I mean? He would have got pressure from Atomic Red, but I think the way he was travelling, it wouldn't have mattered, you know. So it's just, you know, that level when you burn 25, 26 quarters mid-race or at the start of a race, you know, you're vulnerable to any top horse beating you. So, you know, that's just the key to any big race, I think. Not many horses can do it both ends. And but, you know, he's a four-year-old and, you know, he's got it all ahead of him, so I'm looking forward to things.
So it's been published and you made it quite clear that the Inter-Dominion is definitely on the agenda later on in the year?
Yeah, I think the series will suit him, and I think, you know, a lot of the guys are thinking about the New Zealand Cup, so we'll bypass that. And but, you know, the three races I'd like to target be the Inter-Dominion, the Hunter Cup and the Miracle Mile. So, you know, it's not a hard build-up. There's plenty of time between races and I think the Inter-Dominion can make a horse too.
What about with him? Is there a horse that you've had in the past that he reminds you of?
I was just talking about a morning tea with Chris, man. There's probably not many horses that give you the feel he gives you, you know. Stunning Callum was probably one of the few that just had that, you know, raw acceleration and, you know, they when they're in the zone, they're pretty much unbeatable, you know. So, he's had a little few quirks. He used to get a little bit keen in his races and things like that. So, you know, he's moulding into a genuine racehorse as well, so that's good.
What about Myfield Marshall? Now, he finished ninth and he was beaten a fair way. He goes for a pretty long spell.
Yeah, I was disappointed with him because, you know, he looked great and all the tests, you know, it's probably as best as blood's ever been. So, and scoping and things like that. So, but, you know, sometimes they just come to an end of a hard season. He's drawn, you know, wide at Menangle a lot and had a lot of hard racing. So, you know, I don't see him as a, you know, I take it with a grain of salt with him because of his wind operations. And, you know, while I don't get disappointed with his efforts because I know he's got an excuse, you know, so, but, he, you know, he'll just get ready for probably Christmas racing and aim at the Miracle Mile again.
Yeah, I went through and did some stats on that Miracle Mile, and the horses that have raced since the Miracle Mile combined, they've raced 27 times, and there's only been six horses, or combined, they've won six races from 27 starts. Do you think that, you know, horses that have run, you know, they've obviously gone 146.9, or they've chased the horse that's gone 146.9, does that knock them around? Does it take them a while to get over that?
Well, it can do, you know. I think if you're in a good space and your horse hasn't got issues, you know, you're probably going to come through it pretty good. But you do have to be mindful of it, you know. He went for a 2-week spell straight after that, and he actually came back terrific, and probably his best run of the season was in the Bull Eye Cup, you know what I mean? And he just got a bit of a virus after that. He got a cold and, you know, just maybe think it's maybe affected his breathing a little bit and so forth. But it's something you've got to be conscious of. But as I say, if you have a horse that's in the zone and, you know, no lameness and no wind problems, you're probably going to come through it fine.
Yeah, so, oh, well, it'll be nice to say at the 2019 Miracle Mile to have two horses aiming up like, Let It Ride and Myfield Marshall if they're both at the top of the game, because you're going to be ultra-competitive. What about Sassy Pants? I notice it's going around today. She looks like she's slowly learning and putting it all together.
Yeah, no, the Oaks and those big races just come up as campaign too soon for her, you know, and got the right gear on her now, and she's, you know, she's had that experience, so she's a nice filly. She hasn't got anything to aim for now, which is a bit of a shame, but you know, she'll just go through the grades and, you know, learn to be a racehorse, really.
And I noticed that Gwen Letty Babe's off to Bathurst tomorrow as well.
She's a pretty hot favourite there, I think, but, you know, she's done a nice little job without being a star, so, you know, the team's still racing well, and we're still trying to get some more class horses in the stable, so it's all good.
Yeah, obviously, busy time. You've definitely hit the ground running. You've been here quite a while now, but those big race wins keep going, keep coming for the stable, and another big one on Saturday night. Congratulations with the victory of the Blacks of Fate with Let It Ride, and good luck in the future.
Cheers, Greg. Great.
There he is, Tim Butt, the trainer of Let It Ride. The quarters on Saturday night, 29-2, 29-4, 28-9, 28-7. I guess the question mark at the start of the race was who would lead. I think most speed maps had Tack Tate getting across and then looking for cover off Atomic Red. But what actually happened, there was speed from Glenferrie Hood. Peter McMullen charged out and Tack Tate was unable to cross Glenferrie Hood. So Amanda Turnbull took the sit in behind Glenferrie Hood. Dexter Dunn was very aggressive with Let It, was able to cross Glenferrie Hood, and then when Atomic Red came around, Dexter Dunn was able to let it go. There were a few little issues with Cruz Bromack back in the field for Kevin Pizzuto. He had a gear malfunction with the Murphy blind, and unfortunately for him, that was basically the end of his race. Back at Menangle on Saturday night, we saw Major Crocker back at the races for the first time in quite some time. We hadn't seen him since the South Australian Cup. He's now in a new stable. He's now with Mick Doltoff, and very impressive. He won in 152.3. He trialled on a couple of occasions. There was big improvement from his first trial to his second trial, and home in 27.8, 27.5. I know that his owner, Gary Crocker, would have been over the moon with that performance, because Major Crocker is an absolute favourite of his. Gary's joining me on the show. Morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you, mate?
Really, really well. Mate, 29th win on Saturday night. Great to see the seven-year-old back winning races.
Yeah, it was just nice to see him back and happy to be there. And, you know, we tried to give him an easier run as possible. And I don't think we thought he was going to come out as quick as he did, but he came out pretty quick. So, had a fairly easy run in, and you know, was sort of doing it pretty easy. So it was a nice run first up after he hasn't raced for about 7 months, I think, 6.5 months. Yeah.
Has there been any problems with him, or is it just he just needed a bit of a break after the South Australia Cup?
Well, he hasn't had really a decent break since, you know, like he hasn't had a really good break. So he travelled back from Perth and you know, wasn't 100%, and he went around in Adelaide and didn't handle the track, which is not the first time he hasn't handled it. You know, he's okay in front there, but doesn't seem to handle off the fence there. So sort of thought Sydney was the place for him, and so he went straight to Michael Doddoff's place where he trains from, and he's been there ever since. So he's had a complete change, and you know, even in his gear, he's a lot bigger horse now. His hobbles are out to 65.5-inch hobbles, so he's in a big hobble, and he's enjoying his, you know, being where he is, and he's comfortable and happy, and Menangle is sort of a track that he's suited to, you know.
He's a horse that's raced well at Menangle in the past, and you know, I must admit, when I looked him up today, I thought 7-year-old. Gee, I thought he'd been around a lot longer than that. He's obviously won 29 races. He's had a number of race starts, but there's no reason that he can't race on for another couple of years.
Yeah, I think this is probably his last roll at the big time, last roll of the dice. Michael really wants to look after him. He doesn't want him to be, you know, cooked early, so he is looking after him, and we realise that, you know, he has beaten some of those good ones that have now gone and retired or broken down, but realistically we've got to make sure that he gets to the next level, because it's easy to win. You know, he was graded fairly well on Saturday night, having a horse that's won, well, if you include his bonuses, over 700, so he was graded fairly well, so we can't get too carried away. But the way he did it, Michael Towers was very impressed with him. We got our feet on the ground. He's probably going to have. He's in again Saturday night. He's drawn. He's number 10. He's come out of barrier 9 with an emergency inside. But he's probably going to have two or three more runs and just have a little freshen or a break, and then we'll see if we're good enough to go back to big time. You know what I mean?
So into Dominion, is that the plan at this stage?
Well, I'd say, Greg, that Michael certainly won't take him to the end of Dominion if he's not going to be at his best. And if you're going to have a go, it's going to be this year, because, you know, with Lazarus gone, and you know, a few of the, you know, Lenny's retired, and Hector's got an injury, and Soho Tribeca's got an injury. Well, you know, if you're going to have, I mean, we haven't really competed. You know, we've been below the best at since he won the consolation. You know, so I'm just hoping that he can get back to what I think he can do, and if he can't, well, we just got to run around Sydney every week. You know, but you know, everything he's done, he's been really looked after, and he's put on a fair bit of weight. He's got, you know, like, he's got some gear changes in open bridle now with a longer hobble. You know, he's just, you know, as long as he's happy and healthy, we'll just keep going along. And if he ticks over, well, he ticks over. I mean, yeah, it'd be lovely to go to back to Melbourne and race, you know, where he did win his Group 1 at Milton. So we'll just see him play. But we're not, you know, it's not the be-all, end-all. We're realistically, we'll just have a bit of fun with him, and I think he will come back okay, but as Michael said, you know, one run at a time, and we're not going to be, you know, taxing him too early, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. What about Saturday night at Globe Derby? It'll be a big one this weekend, of course, with the running of the Southern Cross Finals, which is a very important night for South Australia.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, the numbers are down this year, mainly because of, you know, a few factors. There's a lot of horses that probably could be racing but aren't, you know, have been injured or whatever. But I would say that Nathan Jack, who trains for Terry and Rosemary Clouse, he would have to be unlucky not to win the two-year-old colts division with two lovely horses in Animal and Young Rooster. One of them was, I mean, Animal was super impressive in winning, and Young Rooster was impressive as well, but not as quick a time. But now it's interesting that both of those are bought out of a stable and both out of really, really good mares. I mean, Animal's out of I'm a Spicy Lumbo, and she won a Queensland Oaks, and I think she won a Pacing, Australian Pacing Championships, you know, for nearly 500,000. And the other one was you know, out of a really good family of Lauriston. So I'd say he'd win the two-year-olds. And with the fillies, it's really, really difficult, but She's a Shark, which was in Piri with Dale Lafford, who's away overseas on holidays. The horse has been with Lance Holden, and it certainly has improved a bit with, you know, the racing down here and probably being trained amongst a lot of other horses. So it's very open, the fillies race. Bubbles and Cheese was a short price favourite, but when it didn't find the top or the fence, I thought it was probably a problem. So if it draws the lead, it's probably going to be very hard to beat because it did win the two-year-old classic earlier. So I reckon they're the best in the two-year-olds. As far as the three-year-olds are concerned, well, it's a very difficult. I reckon Safarik probably should win the fillies, but if Hilltop Somewhere is probably their only local hope of winning one, it depends on the draw. I mean, if Safarik is drawn to lead, well, it's going to be hard to run down. And in the colts, I think, well, Emma's probably going to get one with That's Perfect. But, I mean, Bulletproof Boy, if he draws close, is a very, very good horse, as proven on Saturday night when he beat Emma Stewart's other horse when he led. So I'd say at this stage, the Victorians will probably get some of our money. Well, not Victorians, it's South Australian owners, but Victorian trained horses. And hopefully She's a Shark or Hilltop Somewhere can get us a win in the fillies division.
How is South Australian Harness looking at the moment?
Well, we're struggling with horses, which is the problem at the moment. We've got Ross Neal, our head steward, and he's doing operations at the moment. Just in the short term, he's putting together some strategies to make some changes. I mean, we're down to a very low level of you know, the horses. But that's the problem. I mean, if you've got horses, you've got races. If you don't have horses, that's the problem. So we're just looking at our handicapping and number of races we're running and a whole pile of factors. But, you know, it's the enthusiasm. It sort of dims your enthusiasm a bit when we're struggling for horses. I mean, Tasmania certainly have taken a few horses that normally would have come across from Victoria to us, and they stick over to Tassie. They have, and they've now started up trotters as well. But yeah, we've got our yearling sales, which last year was a huge success. We've just opened entries for that again, and we've got a $100,000 race on the end of that in June next year. So yeah, we've got to focus on the young horses are going to eventually become old horses. So we need to get to, you know, more horses in our pool. But I think that's not only in South Australia. It's probably about the only place it isn't affected is Western Australia. But as far as the rest of us, I think we're all short of horses at some stage, you know.
Definitely, mate. Definitely. We need the product for sure and certain. Mate, congratulations with Major Crocker on Saturday night, and I'll catch up with you at the races on Saturday night.
That'd be great. All the best. Thank you.
There he is, Gary Crocker, the owner of Major Crocker, who won on Saturday night at Menangle. And, of course, he not only enjoys racing horses, but he's also the chairman of Harness Racing South Australia. And good to catch up with him on the pace. So we're going to try and catch up with Brad Hewitt. Now, I know that he's driving, trying to make his way somewhere, but he is there. So we're going to speak with Brad Hewitt, who enjoyed a pretty good Saturday night at Albion Park. Our triple play taking out the four-year-old, and as I said earlier on in the show, he won that race with Sweet Molly O'Shea a few years ago, so he's had a bit of success in the race. Morning, Brad.
Morning, Hazy. How are you, mate?
Really well. Our triple play, you must have been very impressive with what he did on Saturday night.
Yeah, no, he went really good. He's been racing good in both the lead-up races up there in Queensland. Unlucky, he drew 7 the first week and 13 in the Sunshine Sprint, and he wasn't beaten far at all in either of them, so just good he got a good draw this week and he went like he should have.
So you weren't afraid to throw him into the deep end, especially in the Sunshine Sprint, and he proved that he's not that far away from the big horses. He comes out and he wins the four-year-old, so he's obviously not far away from turning five. What do you do with him now once he does turn five?
He's had a pretty long season. Greg's won about four this season, the first time back in December, I think, so, and hadn't had a break the whole time, so more than likely just go for a spell and just have a look at some of the races in the new season.
Okay, Metropolitan assessment-wise, what is he? Is he highly assessed? Will you be able to play around with him in the low grades when he comes back from a break?
Nah, I think the other night makes him a M3 now and about a C9 or something like that, so it's definitely going to be a long races for him. He's straight in the free-for-alls when he gets back into it, which is going to make it hard, but yeah, the hard racing definitely doesn't worry him anyway. He thrives on it.
Okay. Is he worth throwing into a Inter-Dominion series, or is that one step too far at this stage?
He's probably like the class is some of them better ones, but like Gary was saying earlier, a lot of them good ones are either out injured or not right, and yeah, definitely wouldn't have been out of place in the Blacks of Fake on Saturday night, and like I said, he thrives in that hard, solid race, and I don't think he's won a race from behind. It's either been in the lead or the death or three wide that he's won all of his races, so he just loves that solid racing. But yeah, okay. We just have to see how he's going, and yeah, whether it'd be worth chucking him in there or not, but yeah, we'll just make him line up another few weeks or so.
What about That's What I Said? His run in the Derby, he definitely wasn't disgraced in that. Do you have an opinion of him?
Yeah, well, he's actually been pretty disappointing up here. He over-raced in both the first two runs, and at home, he hadn't tightened the rein, but yeah, those horses for you, you sort of don't know until you have to do something else with them, but yeah, he raced better on Saturday night. He still pulled a bit, but yeah, he went a lot more like he should. But off what he was doing before, yeah, I thought he would have been very hard to beat. The draw sort of hurt him on Saturday night as well.
So what do you do with him?
He's bred his crown eligible, but yeah, same thing. Just have to make our mind up in the next week or so whether it's worth going down there or not. Like, there's a really strong group of three-year-olds down there at the moment. All the Emma and Clayton sources, they've obviously got a stranglehold on them, but yeah, we'll just see if he's worth taking, and then more than likely aim up for the Chariots next year because he loves an angle and loves the mile racing on what he's shown so far.
Yep. And it was good to see Untitled get a victory up there too. Obviously in the Invitation Drivers race, Robbie Morris doing the driving for you, but Robbie was able to dash away at the right time on Saturday night, and there weren't too many worries. You could have turned away and celebrated that one a fair way out.
Yeah, same thing. They've been racing really good, him and Triple Play, so, and just drawn bad. So I was glad that they got a couple of better draws and come away with a couple of wins. It always makes the trip better when you can get a couple of wins. So put the pressure off, that's for sure.
So straight back into the cold weather. You didn't get a chance to stay up and enjoy the sunshine for a bit longer?
No, just on the way back now. I stopped at Coffs Harbour and I think this morning, but it was morning 7 yesterday, I've seen, so I'm not looking forward to that.
Well, mate, you enjoy the minus 7 when you get back, and all the best of luck going forward.
No worries, thanks, Hazy.
There he is, Brad Hewitt, trainer of our triple play, won the 4-year-old on Saturday night, and very good job. We haven't mentioned the 2-year-old group one, which was, there was two of them, but the boys was won by Craig Cross, New South Wales trainer, so well done to Craig, driven by Luke McCarthy, first string, and it was a really good drive. Beat the Ricky Alchin trained Regulus. New South Wales went 1-2 there. First string was able to get across Regulus in the early stages. Regulus then took the lead, and then first string was able to out-sprint Regulus up the straight. But both Ricky Alchin, he's had a really, really strong time up in Queensland. Obviously picked up his first group one when Regulus won that Redcliffe race. And Luke McCarthy, he's just driving up a storm. Obviously drives Menangle well, but I don't think anyone drives Albion Park better than him. Will Rickson is a young bloke who is driving extremely well at the moment. I was having a look at the premiership table for the concession drivers in New South Wales, and gee, there's some talented young men and women on that list at the moment, and just having a quick look through that. Chris Geary's on top. He's on 95, but you've got Brad Elder, Cameron Hart, then Jason Grimson's in fourth. Will's on fifth, 51. Mitch Turnbull's sixth. Ellen is seventh. Maddie Young, who we spoke to on the show a couple of weeks ago after she won the Rising Stars, she's eighth. Young Josh Gallagher, who's doing a really good job, he's ninth. And Sean Grayling, who's back from a recent holiday, he's in 10th. But I thought we'd catch up with Will today. He drove a winner on Saturday night at Menangle. I'm pretty sure that was his first Metro winner. And driving to Santa Ana. So pretty big result, considering to Santa Ana hasn't been able to win at Menangle. And Will's joining me. Morning, Will.
Morning, Greg.
First Metro winner on Saturday night?
Yeah, that's right. It was my first meeting in a Metro meeting, and it was great to start off with a winner.
Mate, what were the instructions on to Santa Ana? Because I know that he's been there a few times and not been able to win, so whatever you did, you've done 100% right.
Yeah, it was worked out well. I've had a pretty good relationship with Steph Conner in the last few months, so he knows me and the horse have won a few races together at Penrith, and he sort of just leaves it up to me now, and we sort of talk about how the horse has been through the week and stuff like that. So, from the wide draw, we're always sort of going to go back and hope that there's a bit of speed on. And, during the race, he felt like the winner a long way out.
And so you weren't too worried as you're turning into the straight? You were pretty confident you were going to get the win?
Yeah, around the last turn, they were all sort of... It was a quick first half, and they were all sort of under the whip around the last turn, and so I had a look around, and I was the only one travelling with a helmet to follow into the straight. So, I was very confident all the way out.
Mate, it's been a very good season for you, obviously running fifth on the concession list, and you've brought up more than 50 winners for the season. You must be happy with how everything's going.
Yeah, stoked. Just really enjoying driving and being at the races, so you just got to try and keep the ball rolling, yeah.
And now that you've got that Metro licence, will we see you more at Menangle on a Saturday night, or will you split your time between, say, Newcastle on a Saturday night, Menangle on a Saturday night, or will it just depend on where the drives are?
Yeah, it all depends. I was sort of, Newcastle's been great to me and sort of got me started, and I guess every driver wants to drive at Menangle, but you sort of got to wait your time till you get it, till you start, sort of make it there, so... I'd like to be at Menangle every Saturday night, a lot closer to home, and that's where every driver wants to drive at. So, if the opportunities come, I'm more than happy to take them. But if I get more opportunities at Newcastle, which I saw the last couple of months have been quiet there, and and I've been getting a lot more drives at Menangle. So, I hope to be at Menangle, but we'll just have to see what happens.
Now, obviously, you've got one sister driving at the moment, and that's Ellen, and you competed against her in the Rising Stars. I notice there's a Hannah Rickson having a drive today at the trials for your dad, Ardai Special. Is that another sister?
Yeah, my twin sister, yep.
Your twin sister having a drive. Has she had many trial drives?
Yeah, I think this is her fifth one today. She's had four, and she's doing a really good job. She won one at Penrith the other night, and she's doing everything right and doing a great job.
Okay, and is there a fair bit of rivalry between the three of you now?
I guess it's always very competitive at home and at the racetrack and stuff like that. But I know me and Ellen are both really happy to see her driving, and we always are happy for each other to do well. Although when we do race each other, we're probably not real happy for each other to do well. So, yeah, it's good to see out there.
And what about when you guys were all growing up? Was there one of you that was always more into the horses than the other, or were all of you guys into the horses at the same time?
Well, we always were obviously interested in the races. I think the devices helped that. We were always around the big races, and that was a very exciting time. So I think he sort of all got us pretty hooked. And Ellen was a good rider and was always around the horses riding and driving. And I was always hooked on harness racing since I can remember. And Hannah was really good at sports and played rep netball and all that. And the last sort of year or so, she's sort of got right interested in horses and drives a lot of track work. And, yeah, decided that she wanted to get a trial license. So, yeah, I think we've all played a different part in it, but all sort of working out to drive now.
Is there any more brothers and sisters, or is that it?
No, that's it.
That's
thank
it.
God.
All right, mate. Congratulations for the winner on Saturday night, and we will watch that trial because she's drawn outside you. So we'll see if she gives you plenty of room into that first corner.
Yeah, thanks very much.
There he is, Will Rickson, young junior driver who is doing a very good job in New South Wales. Cozzy, that wraps up another edition of On the Pace. I'll be back again next Tuesday with another show.